My respected friends, Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Ramadan to us. It's our good fortune. With Allah's blessings and mercy, Allah ta'ala has allowed us to pass Ramadan in a nice way. And according to our routine, we are doing ibadat and we are making efforts and striving. And this is Allah's blessings. And these are Allah's mercies. And let's do dua that Allah Ta'ala allows us to continue in the same manner throughout the rest of Ramadan with afiyah, in a good way, in a positive way. Ramadan, from the beginning, had immense barakat, blessings, mercies, rahmas. And Allah's such rewards, they were there, that we cannot understand, we cannot comprehend, we cannot even imagine or know about them. We're unaware of them. In this month, from the beginning of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in Ramadan an objective. Allah kept an objective for Ramadan from the beginning for the human being, for the individual. And Allah ta'ala has distributed Ramadan across three portions, three lengths of 10 days. The first is of Allah's rahmah, then comes the maghfirah ashra, and that will end very soon, within the next day. And then the ashra, the final ashra, the last 10 days is for getting saved from the fire of Jahannam. And these three portions of Ramadan, the titles have been given. And some of our pious predecessors have said that due to the three portions of Ramadan, we should ask for dua to Allah for the rahmah of Allah, the maghfirah, the forgiveness from Allah, and the third portion, the last 10 days, is refuge and to be saved from the fire of hell. Now Ramadan is passing, it is going, and as it is going, there's a hadith of Hazrat Anas radiyallahu ta'ala who narrates this hadith. And this is narrated in Ibn Majah. This hadith where Hazrat Anas radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, he narrates and gives us a message. The meaning of this hadith is that Hazrat Anas radiyallahu anhu said that Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that in the final 10 days of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given such a night or kept aside such a night which is greater than 1,000 months. Subhanallah. For the ummah, it is a great, great piece of news. Big news for the ummah. And a good fortune for them, and a great opportunity, and a great asset Allah is going to us. Now the pious elders have stated that in reality, that all of the barakat of Ramadan, the objectives of Ramadan, the blessings of Ramadan, the ni'mas of Ramadan, and as we continue and pass through Ramadan, ultimately, Allah Ta'ala in this final ashra, Allah gives us the pinnacle, the peak, that we have the moments in the first ashra, then the second ashra, then Allah Ta'ala puts them all together, combines and gives us the peak in the final 10 days. And this becomes, you can say, the collection, the combined, you can say, greatness in the last 10 days of Ramadan. And such a fountain of mercy that everything is gathered and combined in this final portion, the last 10 days. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that all of the goodness of Ramadan that has come now to the last ashra, the last 10 days, Allah Ta'ala sealed in one night the goodness. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala has given a great chance that, okay, if in the first 10 days we couldn't succeed, okay, if in the second 10 portion of Ramadan, the second 10 days we couldn't succeed, okay, then in the last ashra, if we can't succeed, then Allah Ta'ala has given such a night that no individual of the ummah should lose out from Ramadan. Subhanallah. So Allah Ta'ala seal everything in this night. So if we've been lazy in Ramadan, in the first Ramadan, in the second Ramadan, in the third Ramadan, then we are hopeful with the fadl of Allah. We are hopeful that Allah Ta'ala's blessings will come. That we have got such a night now that we should use that night to attain the objective of Ramadan. And along with that objective, Allah Ta'ala has given a reward, that the reward is greater than 1,000 months. 1,000 months, imagine that. That is how great is this night. So the objective of telling us this, or for us to discuss this, is that this night, for us, we should not waste this night. This is our last chance. It's our last chance. We shouldn't waste this night. That Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us Himself. He's told us that the person who loses out from this is a hadith now here that I will explain everything beforehand, and this is the hadith. The person who loses out from this great night, then he has lost out from all of the khair of Ramadan, finished. All of the barakat of Ramadan, ni'maz, ibadat, everything, all of the khair of Ramadan he will lose out from. And is that individual in reality, this is that individual who is a proper loser, a genuine loser, forever that person has lost out. And this is the great opportunity that Allah Ta'ala has given. He's wasted that in the dunya and the akhirah. In reality, that person, he is badbakht, he is a loser, he is unfortunate. And if we see in Ramadan, we are getting such great opportunities and rewards, and we see that the whole of Ramadan has passed. It has already gone past the first two thirds. We're into the final third. If we don't benefit from this great night, then we have lost everything that we could have benefited from in Ramadan. So what do we need to see now? What is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to do? That if we don't do this, then we will lose out from Ramadan. What is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining to us? What is it? If I say that I did a lot of ibadah, I prayed salah, and with the fadl of Allah, I read Quran, I did dhikr, and I recited Quran, stayed up in the night, and I made a lot of effort. So how can I lose out? How can it be that I will lose out? I'm totally fine, alhamdulillah, I will say. I'm going to get the rewards. I've sat in itikaf, and I'm definitely going to get the rewards. But this is not the objective. The actual ultimate goal. This is not the goal or the objective of Ramadan, everything we've done. Ibadat, worship, and efforts. This is not the objective. For our ibadat, this is not the objective of Ramadan. No. This is what we need to understand. What is the objective? How will we attain the objective? That is what we need to do, my friends. And what is that action? That for which Allah Ta'ala has given us Ramadan. So, Aisha radiallahu anha has made it easy for us. She is the mother of the believer. She's given us a very simple explanation of how we can benefit. So it was the night of power, Laylatul Qadr, this hadith narrated in Tirmidhi. And in her blessed room, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was present. And as Aisha radiallahu anha requested the O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this night has come, the night of Qadr in which I am sitting, and you are also present, subhanAllah. Imagine the scene that night, that Imamul Anbiya, the head of the Prophets, the Amir of the Prophets, Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa, and the blessed Hujra room of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the night of power. SubhanAllah. That a person, he gets lost in thinking that, imagine that time, that scene, in that time that can never come back. And what was she asking for? What was she asking for? SubhanAllah. And this is the demand of the Ummah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving to the Ummah. Allahu Akbar. So he never kept anything for himself, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He never kept anything for himself, that this is for me or for my children, for my awlad or for my khandan, my family, subhanallah. The Imam al-Anbiya, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everything he gave to us, every dua, every action was for the Ummah. My brothers, one very important a statement that I am sharing with you that we hear regularly, we say, and we've heard it so many times and said it so many times, just to make us aware that in Ramadan, I've seen many people today, this year, I haven't seen those individuals who were present last Ramadan. They were healthy, they weren't ill, they ran their businesses, they had a lot of children, they had awlad, and they had made homes, and they had shops that were running. They were happy here, they were happy there, and they had everything that somebody would want, subhanallah. But what happened? That they could not attain this Ramadan, and they returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They returned. And may Allah, may it be that they attain their objective, do dua for those who have departed and passed away. We don't know that if we will be present in the next Ramadan amongst our friends, we cannot trust our bodies, or our lives, or what we're doing. This is an old tape that's playing in front of you, and every alim says this, and every speaker says this. But from the pain, the depths of the heart, I'm presenting this to you, sharing this with you for my sake, that there's no guarantee to any individual that will I be here next year? Will we be able to meet the next Ramadan? Many dear colleagues and friends have departed, haven't they? So if today we can earn from Ramadan, then subhanAllah, we won't regret when we depart. Then we have to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we will attain the objective and we'll depart. That Allah ta'ala gave us Ramadan. We have to go. We have to depart. What's there to be scared about? Why are we afraid of death? Why? We have to depart to Allah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, prepare. This dunya is not for you. You're not here forever. What's there? Here, illness, problems, difficulties, lying, fraud, sadness, distress, issues, ups and downs. What isn't there here in this world that is negative? This isn't a place to enjoy. Yes, we try so much that somehow I want to enjoy myself in this world. But there's no enjoyment here. Continuous. Sometimes go house, wealth people get, people attain when they get thousands of illnesses. When they're old or when they have to stand up with an old stick. But he's tried so much and struggled. He thinks, so this is the objective of my life. I'll eat good, wear good, and earn good. And then in that hal, he attains all the wealth when he's not even capable of lying down on a bed. He cannot even eat the food. At that time, he gets those things. And is this a life? This is not life, is it, my friends? No, it's not life. So this is not the concept of life. Think for yourselves. Is this the concept of life? Of success? Yes, this is a life. The objective, alhamdulillah, is that whatever we are broken down, we depart from this world without money, as a fakir, as poor and tight. But when we close our eyes, we should go to that real world as the wealthiest and most richest of people. We should have big mansions in the hereafter, and servants and assistants, and have a beautiful life, and the eyes open. We see that, oh, enjoyment is waiting for me, happiness is waiting for me. And always to prepare for that, we should keep our tongues moist with the dhikr of Allah. Yes, for example, when you go to the doctor and he measures your pulse and he sees your face and will he give me some other medicine? Am I about to pass away? Am I going to die? Is there a new medicine he's going to prescribe? If he gives me that, then I'll be cured. Or will he give me an injection? I'll be fine. Maut, death, when it comes, it will come. Just consider that Allah Ta'ala's great mercy on us, mercies on us, that maut will come whenever it is destined to come, whenever its time has come. In the hadith, subhanAllah, we know that we are going to, when we go to sleep in the night, that we recite the dua, Allah, I'm mentioning your name and I'm passing away. I'm going into the small death. I'm departing and this is your fadl. Allah, if you make me alive again, that I don't need life continuous, but Allah is your fadl and hikmah and wisdom, that if you give me a new lease of life after sleeping, you'll give me the morning tomorrow, that it won't be for the shop or for my children or my house, or I'm passing away. Who's here on my bed? Am I going with a checkbook under my pillow? Maybe people keep the checkbooks for happiness under their pillows. When their beds, that such a item of wealth under their pillow, maybe they'll smell something good or they'll take some money with them. So when a person is saying himself the dua that Allah, I'm passing away with your name, after that he has nothing to his name, nothing. Does he have anything? Is he conscious? At that time we're saying we're dying, and after dying Allah gives that person another chance. What does this mean? What does it mean? This is Allah's karam, Allah is merciful for that person. That's the reason we do this dua. Not that I can get up and do these actions again and make money and do this and that, X, Y, Z. No. For this reason, Allah has given a chance. That, okay, I'll give you another day in your life so you can remember me even more than you did before. Because I desire that you have more palaces. I desire that you have more mansions. That you have more houses. Allah says, I want you to be more happy in the hereafter. That's why I'm giving you another day. I don't want you to be living a tight life in the hereafter. So Allah says, I'll give you another day in the world, on planet Earth, so that in this day you can construct millions of more houses in the hereafter. And from every prostration you do in the world, you will learn so much. But we are so foolish as people. We're so happy. Oh, straight to the shop. Get the car, straight to the shop, do this and that, and nobody is aware that this day I'm getting from Allah. First and foremost, I should be grateful to Allah that this day, I should do two actions in this day, Allah. Two actions I'll do on this day and I'll pass this day to earn. Number one, that none of your orders that you've given to me, O Allah, none of your orders will I break. And number two, whatever you've told me to refrain from, I will never implement on this day. I will not disobey you. I will not commit sins. In other words, Allah, I will pray salah. The orders you've given, the instructions, I'll fulfill them. And secondly, I will refrain from sin. I will not displease you. I will not earn your displeasure. And I will not make you angry. In the morning, put this formula into your life. Tie it into the knot. For example, a person's died, passed away. He's given ghusl, he's given the bath, washed, he's lowered into the grave. Imagine it's me or you. And I die and they give me the ghusl, they wash me. Everyone's listening? Yeah, look how people are arguing. Oh, who's taking off my watch? Who's discussing my wealth? Oh, this is my inheritance. And what arguments are taking place? To this extent I've seen that the mother's passed away and she's wearing the gold ring on her hand. They're fighting over a ring. She's saying, oh, he's saying it's my share. He's saying it's my share. And the ring is not coming off her finger. So they're pulling the ring off her finger to get it off her hand. This is how the dunya betrays us. I tell you, my friends, I practically have seen this in my life. With the mother, the treatment that's being given to the mother. Why? Because this is the punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when a person disobeys Allah, then his heart becomes so dark and rusty that it's got no awareness. No awareness of anything right or wrong. No awareness. We lose regard, respect for the person who's passed away. The love, everything is lost. The heart becomes like a rock. A person's dying in front of us. The relative is dying. And I've seen this and was amazed that one person was dying and that he was dying and there was another person passing away. There was other people and he stood there and he's got told of, you know what you got, he stood there and you know he's standing there with a gun and he stood there and saying, okay, then he shoots him and he's struggling and he sees that he's struggling. Then he shoots again and he's struggling again. And this is the way the person passes away from the world. He's a human being and the other person's a human being. How can a person die like this? When do people's hearts become black and rusty that they give this treatment to other human beings? Allah says, when you forget me, then you are worse than the animals. Worse than animals than to take somebody's heart, to lie to somebody, to break the promise against somebody, or to crush on somebody's hukuk and rights. We have no regard, no manners. Yes, that we have no pain for or regard for another person in our hearts. Tell me. And that, for example, the heart of a mu'min which has been manufactured and made, Allah made this so that we can be merciful to others. When the heart is made, then we should consider that Allah Ta'ala, when our hearts are black and rusty, then Allah has forgotten us. All of these conditions in the environment today, for Anselm, Allah says, it's all because of one thing. That you've forgotten me, you don't do my dhikr. We have ni'mas now, no doubt. We are eating, drinking. Have you ever heard that, for example, that in this dunya, part of this life, a description of this world has been given? Yes, hunger, poverty, difficulties, problems, issues. This is all part of life, isn't it? That's where we've come from. When we travel in the plane, how far away is it? We say, and that's one place. Now we'll go, we'll travel there. What food when you go home? You'll have ease and comfort and peace. Is this forever? No, it's not forever. So we hear their words today. And tomorrow, people will hear about our history. And about our actions. Why? Because Allah says, whoever forgets me, Allah says in the Quran, that go out and wander in the world and see. And another point comes out. You look at the Quran, says go on a holiday and wander around the world. Allahu Akbar. This is the reference. This verse is given the reference. Haven't you seen people use this as a reference? We are given an order, go on a holiday, enjoy, travel, see, kul siru fil ard. That this is the verse. Allah is telling us to go out and enjoy ourselves, be merry. And this is the thinking of this world because our stomachs are full. We want to enjoy life. We've got everything we would want. We're sitting in Jannah, eat, drink, be merry. That's it, I prayed Salah and that's enough. I think I'm favored Allah. And on the other side, all of the disobedience in we could do, we are acting out. No, this was our right. We've come to this world. We've worked hard. We made money. Okay, I'm praying Salah, so I'm fine. I can do what I want. Allah Ta'ala says that, no, not Salah. I want you to stop disobeying me. But Shaitan had a lot of ibadat. He prayed Salah. He worshipped. But he was expelled due to rejecting Allah's orders. So this is the dynasty. This is the history. This reached to us. Arrived to us. And it's not just here. Now, for example, if you will have a lot of money and you'll be fully happy. No. Allah says that I'm making you wake up, O nation of believers. People, that it's not just for the people who are before you. Allah says, I'm Rahim and Kareem for you. I can send the rain of mercy upon you. Allah says, the food and chapati and chicken and clothes and biryani is not just for you. Allah says, I am Rabb for all of the people in the world and the people who you hear how they struggle in life. And I am their Rabb. They are my makhluk. They are my creation. I love them just as I love you. I love them more than 100,000 mothers. And I rear them and I give them provisions. But why have I kept them hungry? Why are they hungry and no clothes and poverty? Why are they coming to us for help? Not because you are beloved to me or that you are most beloved to me more than they are. No. Allah says, open your eyes. Open your eyes day, night. It takes seconds for a person's fortunes to change. Situation to change. May not be tomorrow that you will be struggling as well. Yes, so what is this due to? When there's disobedience of Allah, and Ramadan is telling us this. Ramadan is teaching us this. It's not necessary that Allah will grab us straight away. Upani straight away Allah gives examples of the previous nations. Qul siru fil ard, Allah says, go wander around the world, not on holiday, but go and see my signs. Those nations, Allah says, I sent adab and punishment to them. They were on the heights before death. They had palaces, technology, assets, resources, business. They were the supreme, rich, wealthy nations of their time. You look at the technology, look at their caves and their houses made in mountains. You'll be shocked. How did they do this construction at that time? How did they make these buildings? And if we look, see today that they had the zehn, they had the mind, they had the brain, intellectual. So this is what was there before. But Allah Ta'ala took it away. So Allah has given us these previous examples as a warning, admonishment, example. Ramadan, the final 10 days are coming. The odd nights are coming. This is your final chance. Allah Ta'ala seals and combines all of the greatness of Ramadan into that one night of power. This is our final chance that we have. Otherwise what? We will lose out. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you will have lost out. And in reality, you will have lost out. Most verily, you will have lost out. The person who in this night doesn't understand Ramadan, the first Ashra of Rahmah went, then the second, third of the Maghfirah, now the third portion of Ramadan for salvation and freedom from fire of hell, will lose it. But Allah says, okay, I'll give you such a night, then this night you will get all of the greatness of Ramadan in that night. Subhanallah. In this one night, if the human being says and does what he should do, for which Allah Ta'ala gave us Ramadan, Allah says that all of the barakat of Ramadan will come to you, not just this way, but with reward on top, 1,000 months of reward. More than that, subhanAllah. Al-Fishan. Khairun min al-Fishan. When we do this, brothers, it's not the night to pray salah. It's not the night to pray tahajjud. It's not the night for tahajjud or dhikr. Do we think it's the night for lectures and speeches? One night I got stuck in a masjid after Taraweeh. Yes, when the fadail were mentioned, the virtues of Shab-e Qadr, the night of power, then in the morning, we got up that time when it was to... I said, you've heard the fadail, but when will you do these fadail, these virtues? Yes, when it was time to for Sahri, there was no time to do. So it's not about speaking and doing, no. What's going to happen in this night? What's going to happen? Yes? Is there any special effect that we're waiting for? There's one thing that we need to see. Look out for nothing else. One thing we need to do. Has Aisha radiallahu anha, what was she doing on that night? Nothing special. Has Imam al-Anbiya, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his home. In his blessed home. So what did they do? So at that time on the night of power, for hours the lights are off and swaying, and we don't know what's happened. For example, did any sahabi do this? Do that action that we've been told to do, my brothers. Yes, I'll tell you, take it a shortcut. Just say yes or no. Are you ready to implement? Just speak the truth. Are you ready to implement? The Shab-e Qadr, the night of power has come. Do you want to implement? Yes or no? Say the truth. Be straightforward. Allah Ta'ala is announcing. Allah is announcing, deciding that the seal is about to be applied to us. I'll tell you now that the file has come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it, the stamp is being applied, that Allah ta'ala says, come to me, and the life will end, maybe at any time after this. That's promised to Allah. Do we promise to Allah? Do we promise to Allah? So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, salda from the Allah, my blessed and beloved husband, the head of the prophets, the head of the Nabis, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the night of power has come, and we have arrived to the night of power. Now I would like to ask you, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the night of power has come. We don't want to lose out. So what shall I do? What shall I ask from Allah? Say subhanallah. So who is Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha saying this for? She was asking for our sake, for the whole ummah. The whole ummah has to implement this advice, this answer. And apart from this, there's no other action. Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say give speeches and lectures and talks? No, he didn't say this. He said, what should you do on the night of power? What? So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha is teaching us. Explaining, so simple has it become for us to understand. So what shall we do? What shall we do on this night? Nabi al-Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Aisha, you have said the correct question. Because she was the daughter of Hazrat Abu Bakr Sadiq radiallahu anha. And she was the beloved of the beloved of Allah. Subhanallah radiallahu anha. She said, that what should I do? And then the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave beautiful response in three parts. Beautiful, subhanAllah. The whole of the Ramadan's summary. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Aisha, the person who could do this in the beginning of Ramadan, who has arrived to the final third of Ramadan, Allah has given a lot of reward. And this is the action that the individual should do. Allah has given us Ramadan for this reason. Because this person, his life is going towards completion. So what do? We have to ask that dua. Allahumma innaka afuwan. Subhanallah. That, oh Allah, forgive me. Allah, you are most forgiven. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Nothing else are we asking for. Allah, give me children, wife, house, business, these speeches, that. Nothing at all. What are we saying? One thing, that Allah, forgive me. The head of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, has Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha is telling us this. Can there be a greater meaning of this night than this? No. Though Allah, forgive me. Allahumma innaka afuwan. That to leave this world without forgiveness, a person should not ever imagine that he goes into Jahannam. What big punishments await us for haram, lying, backbiting, riya, shirk, bid'ad. All of these things are gathered within us. Wallahi, if we scan ourselves within, on top, outside we're something, and inside we are full of darkness and sins and wretchedness that the angels cannot come near to us. We say salam to people, we don't tire looking at their ilm, their knowledge, listening to their speeches and talks and their bodies. But inside the darkness and the black effects and the wretchedness of sin. But may we assign ourselves to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What did he say? The best action at this time, that don't consider yourself as anything. You are nothing. You're nothing. You're one sin from inside of your batin. You're one internal sin. One haram musul has gone inside you. Do you know what that haram musul will do? That your whole life of ibadat, Allah Ta'ala will not accept due to that wrong action. Yes. One musul of haram that goes inside. The fast, the hajj, zakat, all of these, the du'as. Great hadith. The whole life, that one musul will destroy us. The haram lukma musul of lying and fraud and deceit. Of interest. So this is a good opportunity. Is this not a good opportunity that's coming? Yes. Everything will come out of our minds. These are the fadail of Ramadan. Yes, of this great night of the Laylatul Qadr. Do you understand what I'm saying, my brothers? Because after this, we haven't come here to listen to speeches. We aren't here to listen to speeches. We have to do the work. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's no greater fadail than this of Laylatul Qadr. Don't take badly what I'm saying. I'm a fakir. I speak straightforward. Straightforward. Yes, I don't speak excess. Lengthy. Straightforward discussion. So from the word, from that blessed house of Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha, Hujra. There were two at that time. Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha and her husband, Imamul Anbiya, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And today who's in that rawda? Imamul Anbiya and his and her father, Hazrat Abu Bakr Sadiq and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. They are present, they are buried. And there are the three in that Hujra, alhamdulillah, the rawda Mubarak. The blessed rawda, the blessed grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From that room came the reply that, remember, on this night you have to call out to Allah, submit to Allah, Allahumma innaka afuwan, Allah, forgive me. Allah, forgive me. That's it. Subhanallah. And then we say, Allahumma innaka afuwan tuhibbul afwa. Subhanallah. That Allah, you love to pardon, you love to forgive. Subhanallah. That the biggest judge and king of the world, he may not like to pardon or to forgive. If there's a criminal there, mujrim, he will swear at them a few times. He will be dishonored, disrespected, he'll be dragged, his file opens, and the advertisements go out and announcements on TV, was a fraudster, a liar. And at the end, in the summary, they say, bring his case forward. The judge sees the case, by Allah Rabbul Kareem, and we are criminals in front of Allah. We do shirk, and bid'at, innovation, and riya, showing off, and lying, committing fraud and dramas. And our objective was money in the dunya and in the akhirah. And all of our objectives every time was money in the name of deen, in the name of being a wali, in the name of something else. The objective of life was just money, money. We'll be stood as criminals. And our markaz of ibadat, the objective of us worshipping, was also to do wrong. And we'll stand and say, Allah, you love to pardon. Subhanallah. Allahumma innaka afuwan tuhibbul afwa. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Fa'fu anni. Fa'fu anni. Allah, you love to pardon. Allah, you like to pardon. Afuwan. Fa'fu anni. Allah Ta'ala doesn't want to give punishment to the ummah of his Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Me and you. Allah Ta'ala doesn't want to throw the Muslimin into Jahannam. That's why Allah Ta'ala has given us this night of the night of power. Great night. Laylatul Qadr. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't want that an individual who has iman, that he is sent into the fire of hell. This is a great opportunity for us now. Allah Ta'ala says that even now, if you don't understand, then what can be said to you? What can be said to you? Even if you don't have aqal now, then how can I explain to you these words? That this night, if you've wasted, Allah Ta'ala says that Subhanallah. This is the dua Rasulullah SAW taught us. Allahumma innaka afuwwun tuhibbul afwa, fa'fuwani, fa'fuwani, fa'fuwani. Allah, if you love to pardon, then Allah, this is a gift from you to me. Allah, forgive me, pardon me, I've come to your court, I've left everything, I'm useless, bone idol, I've committed all the sins, my mawla. But Allah, please accept my request, please forgive me, Allah, please forgive me. That's it. Soon as you make this request, Allah's rahmah, Allah Ta'ala's rahmah is there. Allah says, bear witness, my angels, not just this forgiveness, and forgiveness his whole previous life of sins. I have wiped away his slate clean, and there's no sin remaining in his name. Alhamdulillah, he's got Ramadan. He will get the rahmah, the third of Allah's rahmah, for the mercy, and all of the ibadat he'll have done, read Quran, tahajjud, taraweeh, all of the ibadah will be accepted, and the reward multiplied by more than 1,000 months. Allah says, خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. And otherwise the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever doesn't do this, he has lost out. And a big loss, a massive loss. Rather, he is the genuine loser. This is the hadith of Ibn Majah. He is a genuine loser. In reality, that he is such an unfortunate and wretched person in this world, that he got such a big chance that he could be sent to Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ said that, Allah Ta'ala said that, I'm waiting for your request, this man and woman, brother and sister, but this is the test we need to pass. Yes, but we don't even feel like we want to do this. So brothers, we shouldn't be hard-hearted. Let's promise, will we do this action? That prepare from today for this action. On the night of power, Laylatul Qadr. Prepare from today. Have we prepared? Okay, fine, good. Now we'll do dua, we will go towards Allah to ask for forgiveness. So what's the tariqah, the method to ask Allah for forgiveness? Should we learn that or not? Yes, we should learn, shouldn't we? Okay, fine, let me present a hadith of how to request forgiveness. This is not the method to request forgiveness. Take tasbih, astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. No, this is not the method for requesting forgiveness from Allah. That this is not the method, Allah forgive me, Allah you are the one who forgives, Allah just forgive me. No, this is not the method. This is not the technique. This is not the way. So an individual came to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a hadith narrated, and he came and said, "Oh Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm finished, I'm gone. My sins." And he was lost in the thought of his sins, that he even forgot the adab, the manners in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was so afraid, so much in shock, so scared about his sins, that where shall I go? I'm going to go into Jahannam. I've committed so many sins. So we say, if only for a second we had this feeling within our hearts, subhanAllah. This is our genuine feeling. This is how we should feel. In this night, we should be shaking. We should be trembling. We should be shaking. We should shake and tremble and be afraid that Allah, I've got so many sins. Where shall I go? Who will save me? Who will forgive me? That Allah, I don't see any goodness inside me. I don't see any good actions that I've done. Allah, there's so much darkness and wretchedness in the sins. All the orders that you've revealed in the Quran, I'm against this. My appearance, my face, my body, my libas, my attire, my house, my household members, my family. The call outs from the house is against this. My sitting down in my car is against this. My business is against this. My link with human beings is against this. My talking with people is against this. Not one moment is there in my life that is not against your deen, Allah, according to what you said in the Quran and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed lifestyle, about which you said that I need to live my life like this. Not a second, nothing can I see in my life that's according to this. We should be shaking and trembling. Allahu Akbar. So then, no worries, no problem. We are sinful sinners. Allah says that I love to forgive, tuhibbul afwa. So we need to get to Allah's court. Do we want to, brothers? Yes, so we need to reach there. We need to arrive there. We stand there, we get there. So now look at this sahabi. How did he request forgiveness? So now he screamed and cried. He knew he could say, Astaghfar, ya Allah forgive me, Astaghfirullah, 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 Astaghfirullah. No, tariqah, the method of asking for forgiveness. He said, oh Prophet of Allah, my sins. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam prescribed him the solution. You've committed the sins? He said, yes. So three things where you can say the thoughts that were aroused within the sahabi. We need to make this come into our minds for Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness to come to us. What was the first thought in the sahabi? That he had regret for his sins. Do you understand regret? Remorse. He felt ashamed about his sins. Genuinely ashamed and remorse. Regret. He was very ashamed in front of Allah that these are my sins, my actions, that Allah, I've committed sins against you. And he was very ashamed at that time. He had khawf, fear due to being ashamed and regretting. So regret creates the fear. Regret and remorse creates the fear. The second factor element within this great Sahabi's feeling was that he accepted that he had committed a crime. He accepted that I've committed the crime, I've committed the sin, and I, for example, have accepted, I say that I am the most pious, and I say, oh, your salah is not good, worry about yourself, who are you to tell me? We say, quickly responding to advice. And that's why Tabligh Jamaat get pushed around and shoved when they go knock on the door, brothers, pray, salah, oh, get out, go away from me, they say. In response, yes, don't you get pushed in your bodies and faces, and they get kicked around and criticized for this reason, because when they go and speak about deen, then they never accept, the third party never accepts that I don't pray salah or I'm a sinful. They say, please come to the masjid, we request, we plead, listen to us for a few moments. They say this, don't they? And then those, the worst people, they don't open the door, they just keep knocking on the door. They say, oh, they've come to tell us pray salah, do this and that. So they hide, and so you see, tabligh who's come to the door, they don't even open the door. Is this not the case, my brothers? Is this not honest? You got the experience of this? So the feeling of regret and remorse is a great message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that out of hundreds of thousands of people, there won't be people who will accept on this night, who are committing sins, music and singing and non-Islamic actions, and they want to do sari in the morning and drinking and be merry and enjoy, and everything's being done, all sins under the sun. And this will be the night of power. Allah Akbar, this night will have arrived. Why? Because there's no regret, no remorse, no feeling of doing wrong, the accepting. So we need to do these two things. Element number one, we need to be ashamed in front of Allah. The Allah, I am ashamed, and the rest of the time I won't do this. And number two, we need to accept that we've committed this crime. We need to accept that I've spoiled my face, my appearance. I've spoiled my overall appearance and my body and my home, my household, and my stomach. I've spoiled with haram. And this is called accepting and regretting remorse. And when this regret comes, then inshallah, just like that sahabi who had that fear and shock, then that feeling will overcome us. And then there will be crying and sobbing, closing the light and crying, drama. This is a drama for half an hour. Like, you know, we see some places, certain masjids, for example, dimming the lights and crying, and for example, Hussein, etc. Don't do these actions. No, don't make things up and show off. This is a genuine night of forgiveness, and the crying will come at that time, and sobbing and shrieking after 3 hours. This isn't how it comes. When regret comes into the heart, you see from the corner in the darkness of the night, you hear the crying and the sobbing, and when the true regret comes into the heart. So do you understand these two elements? This is what we call tawbah. And then the third factor that was present within the sahabi, subhanallah, that he wasn't present in front of a minor personality. He was in front of the greatest shakhsiyat of all time, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the third thing which is important, which he did, is that now I won't commit these sins again. Yes, so straight away he left the sins. Straight away. At that same time. Immediately. Immediately. So what's happened has happened, but I won't do these sins again. So these three elements, if we bring to our life, regret and remorse, and feel and accepting that we had committed the crime, and to reject that sin at that same time, right now I reject this sin, I leave it, and if I trim my beard, then this has gone my razor. And if I do wrong actions that same time, that night, no, I'll make a plan, slowly, this is not the methodology to leave the sins, that today I'll make an intention, that tomorrow I'll cry, and the third day, no, immediate. You know, that we make excuses. When out of excuses, the tears come out, and the fake tears come out. You understand what I'm saying? So this is what we're saying in a different dialect, that this is not the night for drama and being fake. This is the night for genuine tears, that the blood should flow from the eyes, from such remorse and regret. That's when we realize that this is the night. Yes? Don't release fake tears, crocodile tears. Yes? So accepting that we stand in front of the first, regret and shame, after that to be to accept the crime, and thirdly, I will not do this again, Allah subhanAllah. When we bring these three elements, Allah will say, fine, that Allah says, I will forgive you. Say this, Allah says, that oh Allah, that Allah, you are the one to forgive, your forgiveness so great that my sins are nothing in front of your rahmah. You could within seconds, a minute, forgive me. that your rahmah is so powerful that is there any sin of mine that's intact in front of your rahmah mercy? Is there any deed I can present to you that's worth of your acceptance? So Allah, please forgive me. You can forgive me within a second. I've got nothing to present to you, Allah. Why? Because tuhibbu, you love to forgive. You love that a criminal comes to you and you forgive. Subhanallah. I've come as a criminal. And he said the words. Say it again. Then he said the action again. Did the action again. Said the statement again. He said, go and a new lease of life. All your sins are forgiven. Allahu Akbar. And you attain the night of power. That's it. So we don't want to do these actions, but everything else we want to do in the night. Tell us what to do. Yeah, all of the actions under the sun we'll do throughout the night. We'll do all of the actions. But apart from this one deed, this is where the Prophet ﷺ said, you won't be just lost, you'll lose from everything. Rather, you'll be in reality the worst loser in the world, subhanAllah, this individual. In front of the father, when an individual goes, when, for example, if I go to my father, I've made a mistake, committed a crime, when I go in front of my father, then how do I ask for forgiveness? I feel ashamed in front of the father. I feel ashamed, father. How will I ask for forgiveness? Don't you feel ashamed? Then I'll go then say that, please forgive me. Please forgive me. So you accept the sin, isn't it? And the third, that I make a true promise, I will not do this action again, I promise. We say this, don't we? So these are the three elements that we can say this to our father. Can we say this to our Rabb? Allah say, subhanAllah. That our father maybe will not forgive us, but Allah Rabb will say, go. That I won't just forgive you, but I'll give you the reward of 1,000 months, greater than 1,000 months. SubhanAllah. Alfi shahr khayrun min alfi shahr. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you this understanding life of Allah gives us is one night, then there's no sadness, no loss, whatever. If we've sinned before that, the sins, throw them away. Because what is a sin in front of the Rahmah of Allah? I remember a couplet, beautiful couplet, I can't remember it this time. Though all of my life, the sins, they will go. But Allah, your Rahmah is so great. And if a person speaks in the court of Allah like this, Allah says himself, I won't just forgive you, Tuhib, I'll make you my beloved servant, subhanAllah. No criminal of tomorrow. Thief, bandit, zani, adulterer, doing all of these actions. When he approaches Allah, Rabbul Alameen, this way, Allah says, turn back, go back. Who says he's a criminal? He's not, he's my friend, Wali Allah, he's my Wali. Yes, and see tomorrow how his life will transform. Look at how we'll be tomorrow morning. People call him a thief and a bandit and a gangster and a zani and adulterer. People used to run away from him. See his morning, tomorrow morning, I'm Rabb. Tomorrow, throughout the whole world, Allah says in the Qulubs, that every dharra, every atom's space in the world, that his name will be mentioned and made great, that he's the Wali of Allah. And if he does dua, he'll be accepted, subhanAllah. And people will come to him for help, assistance, guidance. So do we want to do tawbah, my brothers? Or do we want to implement dramas in life? Is it drama or tawbah? Tawbah. I'm telling you in advance. So as we're nearing the final third, I've said this for my benefit. Don't waste this night. Just do one action in this night. Then make a solid promise that we have come to Allah as criminals. We've committed the crimes. We will not sin again. Subhanallah. Say subhanallah. So let's do a little bit of dhikr because time is short now. Recite Durood Sharif.